We always like to have guests from the official opposition of the NDP to join us here, the Trending 55 Hot Seat. We're pleased to be joined on the line right now by Recky Pancholi, the opposition critic for Children's Services and also the MLA for Edmonton White Mud. I guess, first of all, Recky, thanks for taking the time to join us here today.
Thanks, Kazo. It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Well, the main topic we wanted to discuss today is there was a report recently from the Office of the Child and Youth Advocate, and it pointed out the fact that we have actually seen a rising number of children and youth dying while receiving a child in the child care system in the province. Why don't you tell us a bit about what's all sort of happening there?
Yeah, it's a pretty grim statistic, Kyle. It's pretty alarming. Basically, what we're seeing is that this past year, and the year's not over yet, as we're seeing an alarming rise in the number of children and youth who have, while receiving child intervention services. So these are kids who are either the responsibility of government, they're in foster care, or they are children or youth that are transitioning out of the foster care system into this period of time called emerging adulthood, right? This age where they no longer are part of the child intervention system. So these numbers are really grim. About 39 young people have died this year alone, and we have another 3 months before the end of the fiscal year. The year before that, the Office of the Child and Youth Advocate reported 72 young people who have died. So this is really a tragic situation, and it speaks to the need for significant action by the government to address what's going on. We know it's been a tough couple years for all Albertans, but the children and youth in care are the most vulnerable kids in our province. And so when we're seeing these numbers and seeing that we're on trend, we've already passed the record for over the last 10 years. We've passed that record of deaths. We really need to see significant action taken immediately by this government to make sure that children and youth in care are safe.
Certainly some concerning statistics sort of brought up there. And what are some actions that you think needs to be done to help address the situation?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that as the official opposition we've been asking the UCP government to take action on. The first is to convene an all-party panel to look into what's happening. And when we say all-party, we mean, you know, all parties in the legislature. This does not have to be, this is not a partisan issue. We should all be invested in making sure that we're addressing this. We did this when we were in government in 2018 as the NDP. We had an all-party panel to look at the child intervention system and make 36 recommendations to address the safety of kids in care, but also the overrepresentation of Indigenous children in care. Now, those recommendations, the other thing we're asking for is transparency around what the government has done to implement those recommendations coming out of that 2018 panel. We need to know what work has been done, what work they're struggling with. Maybe we need to change direction, but we don't have any accountability on that piece. The other thing that we've asked for just this past weekend, the Office of the Child and Youth Advocate has made a number of recommendations over the years to government, specifically to take some strategies to improve safety for children and youth in care. And the advocate was asking that, you know, those ministries come to a committee of the legislature and report on the work that they've done to implement his office's recommendations. Unfortunately, the UCP has denied that opportunity for transparency and accountability to actually hear from ministries to say, okay, what are we doing with those recommendations? What work has been done? What more needs to be done? And what have we decided not to do? So we're calling on the government to allow those ministries to come forward and provide accountability. We also know that we need to roll back the cuts that were made to the Supports and Financial Assistance Agreement program, and that was a program that provided funding supports but also emotional supports to young people transitioning out of care. These cuts were made even though we know that the Minister of Children's Services claimed that she would not cut these young people off supports. She did go ahead with that, and when we see that rise in those deaths of youth in care, many of them are those young people transitioning out of care and who are on this program. So we need to be starting there by reversing that cut, so we have to take a really holistic approach from all parties in the legislature to find out what's happening and take some significant action now on the recommendations from 2018, but also on the recommendations from the Office of the Child and Youth Advocate.
And you mentioned the bit there about the children that are sort of transitioning out of the system, and certainly with how things have gone on in the world over the past couple of years, that's probably added a little extra stress to us, kids that are in that situation as well. What kind of things do you think needs to sort of happen to us, particularly help with that group of kids in the system?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have to remember, when these young people are transitioning out of government care, they don't have a family support system. You know, like many young people, as they're, you know, maybe moving out of high school or moving on, they may have family supports. These young people do not have that. One of the things that they have had while being in care was the support of a caseworker. So somebody who's been assigned to them, who has probably been the only stable emotional support that they've had for many years. And when they get cut off of this supports and financial assistance program, they lose that emotional support. They lose that caseworker. And so the most important part is that they need to continue to have that emotional support. We also know, of course, as you mentioned, it's been a very difficult year, and we've seen a rise in opioid deaths and addiction issues, and we know that's affecting these young people as well. One of the recommendations that's come out of the Office of the Child and Youth Advocate is to actually have a youth opioid strategy, so one that's targeted at young people. And we have not heard any response from the Associate Minister of Mental Health or the Minister of Health in terms of implementing a specific youth opioid strategy. And another recommendation that came forward from the advocate was around whole family residential treatment services. So we know that when these children are kind of in care or going back to their family or going back in care, sometimes there's addiction issues in the whole family, and we need treatment services that support not just the young person in care, but also the entire family. And that's actually a recommendation that this government has rejected without really any explanation as to why. So there's some very concrete things that can be done to continue to support these young people, particularly during this really challenging time. And we just need to also, I want to add, one of the most gratifying experiences I've had is actually listening to young people in care, listening to what they need. They need their voices to be heard. They can advocate for themselves, but they also need support from the adults in the system to advocate for them. And they have a lot of concrete examples of things that they need. They don't want to wait until they're at a crisis point before they get support services. So mental health supports needs to be available earlier on, not just when young people are in an absolute crisis. So there's lots of steps that can be taken, and we really hope that the government will take some concrete action in the year ahead. I'll be looking for that in the budget announcement tomorrow to see what supports will be there to address the concerns around children and youth in care.
And when we talk about certainly with some of these recommendations, and this situation, as you mentioned, it's been kind of tough over the last year or two, and the numbers of children in care being affected by this has certainly gone up. If action really isn't sort of taken here, how worse could the situation possibly get?
When we see the numbers of young people dying in care, that is the worst statistic to be looking at. It's the worst measure of outcomes because it really means the entire system has failed these young people who are in the care and responsibility of government. So I don't want to be tracking the number of young people who are dying because that means we've already reached a crisis point. But unfortunately, right now, without any accountability from the government around what work they're doing, it is the only measure that we have. And we've already surpassed that record of the last 10 years of the number of young people who have died. We cannot continue on that path. It really means that we have failed these young people. So, when I talk to those people who are working in the system, to social workers, to agencies, to foster homes and kinship homes, what they want to do is make sure that there's early interventions and supports for families before they get to crisis points, making sure they have mental health supports, addiction supports. They need to have, many of them are living in poverty, many of them are living in remote situations and are very isolated. If we can address those issues earlier on, we shouldn't have to be tracking the number of young people who are dying to this degree to see how the system is doing. That is a very poor measure of outcome for these kids. So we really need to be looking at interventions and wraparound services and holistic services for the entire family much earlier on so we don't have to be tracking deaths anymore.
Finally, whenever we have guests join us here on the Trending 55 Thoughts, we always like to throw in a personal question too, to kind of there to kind of show that, hey, these politicians are people too. And as I look out the window of our studio here, I notice that there's a lot of snow falling outside. Yes, it's definitely winter time right now in Alberta. So I guess when it comes to you, Racky, when the weather is a little cold and snowy out there, what are some of your, I guess, sort of go-to wintertime activities?
Well, I'll admit, Kyle, I am somebody who prefers the summer. I'm not, a natural winter person. I like to kind of hole up in my house and watch movies and stay under the blankets and stay warm when it's very cold outside. But I have grown up in Alberta, so I know this is the world we live in. I am a big dog lover, so I love to take my dog out for long walks. And, you know, his joy in the winter actually makes me feel a little bit better about it. So my goal is to always get out and take long walks with the dog during the daytime because I love our Alberta sunshine. So that helps me get through the winter days. But I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to spring.
Yeah, I think a lot of people around here are also looking forward to spring as well. But anywho, Racky Pacioli, the NDP critic for Children's Services, thanks for joining us on the hot seat today.
Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate it. Anytime.